This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Buster, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Still without power, like a lot of people.
Me too. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. I say right now, before we go any further in the season, Mattingly is your manager of the year to have that team 6-1.
I don't know how you could pick anybody else.
It's unbelievable.
Given what's going on? It is, and yeah, I mean, you've heard from Aaron Boone about. How, you know, talking with players and staff about about playing in 2020 and how you have to live it and how you have to own it and you have to turn it into a positive. You know, the Cubs certainly have done that. I think the Yankees have done that. And it's amazing that a team as young as the Marlins, and I know that it's not a big sample size and they've been playing the Baltimore Orioles, but still, for them to get off to a start like that and to legitimately be in the playoff conversation, basically a quarter of the way into the season is surprising.
But that said, and I don't want to burst their bubble, I mean, talent on that team tells you it's not sustainable. So with the Mets playing them 10 times this month, is the law of averages tell you that maybe this is the best time for maybe the Mets to at least get well this weekend, or am I disrespecting the Marlins?
No, I don't think you're disrespecting him. The one thing I would say is that all those standards that we apply under normal circumstances don't apply. Like, I heard from a couple of folks who are on a really prominent team, and I'm not going to say the name of the team. It wouldn't be fair to the players, but I've heard from the folks on the team, like, these guys have no interest in being here. They're ready to take it to the house. And I think that's much more of a factor than what we realize. As I mentioned, I think there are teams, clearly, if you watch the Cubs games at all, it's like their dugout is a combination of a high school team and a college softball team in terms of the energy they're generating. But I think just in watching games, there are some other teams that are just not into it. And so, Don, I feel like that, you know, if you're the Marlins, it's a small sample size. You got something going. You got some energy going. I just think it's a different type of context than we've ever seen.
So let me get this straight. Are you saying that someone who told you that the Mets don't seem like they want to be here?
No. No,
I didn't know what you meant. There's some team, but you're not including the Mets, right?
No, I'm not saying it's the Mets.
Okay.
I'm saying that there is a team that's a prominent team where I've heard from folks on the team like, our guys have no interest in being here, and they're ready to take it to the house.
But let's extrapolate that out to the Mets. When you look what happened with Cespedes, and Nimmo admitting to the media, I don't know what story is true. That's never good for a clubhouse. Off to an awful start. You know, injuries galore. I mean, I'm not saying that the Mets are that team, but they could be like in that conversation right now, right?
I think, Don, I actually think a lot of teams could be in that conversation. You know, you lose a small sample size of games in 2020 under the current circumstances. I think there are going to be players and teams that just check out. You know, one of my big fears for the sport in the month of September is that, you know, as players pass benchmarks for service time, for free agency, for arbitration and things like that, if they're playing on a team that's 15-20, you might just see, here guys go, you know what, I'm done, I'm leaving. And I think that is going to, you know, there are going to be some teams that will do very well in dealing with that because they got a great esprit de corps going. But on the other hand, I think some other teams, you might see some erosion. And the fact that they're not off to a good start, I think it's certainly a team worth watching.
Now, speaking of the Mets, I want to get into this with you. This Sunday, E60, 5 o'clock. Pete Alonso poking the bear. So this guy had 53 home runs on top of the world, but the arc of his life doesn't show a guy who looked like he was destined for this because he had a kind of a rough road, and then you guys explore that.
Yeah, and look, you guys know this, is that Pete Alonso is exactly who you think he is when you meet him in person. He's the nicest guy. He's so gregarious. He's incredibly earnest. And 2 weeks before I sat down with him, and we did the first interview in January, he spoke to his old middle school, and he talked to the students about, hey, don't worry if you feel different. Don't worry if you're kind of weird. And it was pointed enough that, you know, I went into the interview thinking, I wonder if there's something here. Like, he may have gotten picked on, and I felt like that I, you know, stuck my finger in the ground, and it was an absolute oil gusher that came out. You know, for someone who is as happy as he is, man, he felt, you know, as a kid, that he was bullied. He got made fun of for his weight. You know, he was called Fatso and all kinds of names. And at a young age, he didn't push back. He didn't fight back. He talked to a childhood friend who talked about all the stories from that time. And then, you know, it continued through high school. And then he goes to college, and he has an incident happen when he's at the University of Florida, when some teammates thought that he shouldn't be in a long-distance relationship, as Pete told us the story. And we're trying to basically, in Pete's eyes, break him up and sending him pornographic pictures on social media. And Pete, for the first time in his life, stood up and yanked a teammate off a scooter and said, no, this is going to end right now. This is not going to continue. The guy challenged him to a fight. Pete went there. Guy wasn't there. He also had a dugout confrontation with Kevin O'Sullivan, the Florida coach, when the Florida coach told him he wasn't in it for his teammates. And Pete said that whole episode for him was empowering because it was the first time in his life he really fought back.
Wow.
It's an incredible story. Great job, Buster. I had no idea about that stuff. And then you see him struggling this year, and you just wonder how much of that is sophomore jinx, how much of that is COVID-19. What exactly do you think he's going through right now?
I'd love to hear Michael's perspective on this. I really think, just being around Pete, he reminds me so much of Paul O'Neill that I think he tends to drive himself crazy. Where Pete, you know, can get into his own head. He told me this great story about how during that stretch of games leading up to when he broke Judge's record last year, he was really struggling. And Jacob DeGrom walked up to him and said, hey, are you nervous out there? And Pete kind of was like, why would you ask me that question? And DeGrom said, because you're swinging at the pitch before the guy throws it. And that's what I see right now and just watching his at-bats. You know, 20 strikeouts in his first 50 at-bats. His timing is clearly off. His mechanics are off. I do think he's going to be someone in his career, like O'Neill, that he's going to put pressure on himself. And he's going to put far more pressure on himself than anybody else is. I think it doesn't have anything to do with the market. It just has to do everything with him being in his own head at the moment.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Talking with Buster only here on the Michael K Show. The E60 on Pete Alonso is Sunday at 5 o'clock. So tune in for that. Very quickly before we let you go, the 7-inning doubleheader, I experienced it for the first time. I believe it was on Wednesday. I kind of liked it. And then Ken Davidoff of the New York Post came out with a column and said they should switch all baseball games to 7 innings, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I do like the 7-inning doubleheader. And if you have one of those a week, there'll be more off days, and maybe you can end the season a little sooner. Your thoughts?
You know, about 7-8 years ago, I quoted a high-ranking baseball executive when we were talking about how, you know, to reduce the time of games. And his suggestion was, you know what, we ought to just reduce it to 7 innings. And the backlash at that time, not only from old-school fans, but also from people in the game, was huge. And now you hear a little bit more of that from the front offices. Like, you know what? We do want to get the product down to 2 minutes and or 2 hours and 30 minutes, and that's something we should consider. I still think they're a long way away from doing it. My God, they've got so many problems and issues to work through. I really feel like that so many of these rules, including those 7-inning doubleheaders, this year is just the audition for all of that to happen in the future.
And finally, Cardinal tested positive. They might not play the series this weekend with the Cubs. And I look at the schedule for the Phillies. And it's just it's untenable. I don't know how any team could do that. And you know, we talk about 60 games being representative, but it's simply not fair to some teams. And you know, you can say the Marlins did it to themselves for whatever, you know, if they didn't follow the protocols as closely as they should. But the victims are the Phillies, and the Phillies are playing games. I don't know how you're going to be able to do that. So how does baseball look at this and think it's fair to some teams?
I don't know how they. I completely agree with you, and I do hope common sense takes over. You know, we're seeing situations where the players clearly aren't in optimal shape, especially the pitchers, which is why we're having all the pitcher injuries. And I've had general managers tell me, look, don't worry about the 60. You know, if it means that some teams play 52, some teams play 55, some plays 57, fine. Baseball, as you know, has plenty of precedent for that, 1972, 1981, strike years. And everybody knows this year's an aberration anyway. Like, everyone is, I think, down through history is going to look at 2020 as being a completely different year. So who cares? And if you feel like you're going to, you know, potentially protect some players by not forcing them to play every game to, you know, to meet the artificial number 60, then do that. I think that's a lot more important.
Buster, be well. We'll talk to you real soon. I hope the electricity comes on. I know I'm hoping mine comes on.
I know. Fingers crossed for you, Michael.
Absolutely. See you
done.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.